Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
And good morning. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Well, I don't know. Anyway, it is nice to have you back in the studio, Dr. Samara Umat.
Good to be back, Pete.
Welcome. And you're here for quite a while now. We took a detour. We took a detour with you. But you're back.
Actually, she's going to miss next week.
No.
Yes.
Come on.
She and I were talking about this yesterday.
Sorry, Pete.
Don't tell me. Okay. Well, okay. All right.
She's got relatives up in Canada that are.
Oh, I know.
So she needs to go see.
You've got to do that. Yeah. Family first. Family first.
It's been a while. Remember, the border's been closed, so we haven't been able to go.
Well, but, and Sunil's parents are getting on.
Yes.
All right. But you're here today.
I'm here today.
You're not going anywhere, are you?
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Not today.
Welcome again, everybody. This will be fun. If you have been waiting for Dr. Umat to be back, you've got a question. You just didn't want to ask Dr. Mixon.
I don't know why. Because she's smarter and a hell of a lot prettier than I am.
That's right. So that's a given. So here's the number. Folks, if you just tuned in or wondering what is all this nonsense, this is Leading Edge Medicine. And for the next 2 hours here on 770 KTTH, we take your calls and answer your questions. Anything about health, we'll go. We've got Dr. Samara Umat. We've got Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. Mixon, of course, is the founder and chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinics. Been around since 1998. Kind of scary, but that's cool. I joined up on
around since 1947, but that's a whole different issue.
Longevity.
Oh, yes.
Longevity. And Dr. Umat is our assistant medical officer. And she is normally here. And she's here today, not here tomorrow, but we are going to lock her and chain her to the wall
pretty soon.
Beyond that Saturday. So if you have a question, it can, again, be about anything. Maybe you need a second opinion about a health problem that you're going through. Here's the number. All the lines are open right now. So here's the number. You call, you get in, you'll be first. 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. And we will wait for your calls. In the meantime, just before we went on the air, you were doing sort of a recap of some of the new outbreaks in China.
In Beijing. But let me segue before Beijing. Let me go back to Monday of this previous week.
Okay.
When the World Health Organization came out with a statement telling us that asymptomatic spread of COVID is very rare.
That's right. They did.
Very rare.
Uh-huh.
And there was some pushback on that. People said, wait a minute, what do you mean by very rare? I thought we've all been told, you know, that asymptomatic people are spreading it widely, and that's why we all have to stay home and wear our masks and yada, yada.
Correct. Which basically means people, asymptomatic means people who have the virus.
But no symptoms.
But no negative symptoms.
Right. Correct. So if we test you, you know, with a swab, we would find a positive test, but you don't know you got it.
You don't have a fever. Right. Mm-hmm. You're not sick. Hawking, hacking,
you're not
coughing.
Sick.
Okay.
Correct.
So the next day they came out with a clarification.
Well, because they got so much pushback.
Right. And so they said, it is not very rare. It is just rare.
Okay.
And I'm saying, wait a minute. As a physician, how the hell do I use the difference in very rare and rare in
right.
guiding what I do?
That's right.
I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, talk about worthless.
The World Health Organization is basically a political body.
It is.
And a bunch of wieners as far as I'm concerned.
But from very rare on Monday to rare on Tuesday to you all need to wear your masks on Wednesday. I don't know if there's anybody there that you can believe it. However, it did cause me to start doing some thinking and looking at the physiology and then reading a fair number of articles on asymptomatic outbreaks,
mm-hmm.
if you can call an outbreak in which no one is sick an outbreak. But there are now several groups. There was one meatpacking plant in which they went through and tested everybody and found over 100 people positive on their swabs, but no one was sick.
Out of 100?
Out of 100.
Wow.
100% of over 100 people, nobody was sick. That's mind-boggling.
Does that mean that the virus is mutating and becoming less?
Most likely, yeah. Most likely, that's probably what it means, is that either we are accommodating to it or it is accommodating to us. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when it infects someone, our immune system assaults the virus, and then we cough it and spray it back out for the next person. But it is being changed by its interaction with our immune systems.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this has happened many times in history, that new viruses and bacteria that jump into human beings are lethal in the beginning
mm-hmm.
and become less and less lethal as time goes on, as we accommodate to each other as species.
Mm-hmm.
Beijing was just reporting yesterday 4 new outbreaks. Interestingly, one guy who got sick, but nobody knows where he picked it up, but he was sick, and in his early days of being ill, he went to work at a meat inspection plant where they, you know, inspect the chicken, the pork, the beef, etc. And then he went to the hospital. He got diagnosed. He is ill, but not dangerously ill. But they went in and tested everybody in the plant
mm-hmm.
and found 45 people positive for the virus. And again, no one was sick. And so now they've tracked those 45 people's contacts. And they found a few very small outbreaks here and there. But it would appear that either the virus is changing or we have already hit the most susceptible people. But people getting sick now are not getting as ill. And of course, maybe we've just killed off most of the really susceptible nursing home patients. You know, nursing home patients account for 0.6% of the population and yet 50% of the deaths.
Yes.
Okay.
And 50% of the deaths, if I remember
that's
you
what
saying.
I said.
That's what
you
said. Yeah, but 50% of those are among people who had less than 2 months to live?
Probably, because they were already in nursing homes
right,
where
right.
people tend to have short survivals. And they were, so yeah, you're over 85, you're in a nursing home, you've got heart disease, kidney failure, lung disease. You do not have much of a lifespan to start with. And then the virus just kind of kicks them over the edge a little early.
Right.
But yeah, 0.6%, less than 1% of the population accounts for 50% of the deaths in this country.
Wow.
So, you know, so really the bulk of us, are probably relatively safe. I mean, we may get sick, but we are not going to die. And then we've got another uncontrolled experiment with the demonstrations last weekend and the week before.
Sure.
We had tens of thousands of people marching, running, leaping, shouting, expostulating, you know, looting, burning, turning over police cars. The vast majority of them not wearing masks. You're going to get about 60% of the people who get sick within 5 days. You know, we say 14 days as a quarantine, but that's because you'll get half your infections in the first 5 days. the next 3 days will get most of the rest. And by the time you're 10 days out, you've already got 99% of the population. We say quarantine for 14 days because almost nobody will get sick after that. Mm-hmm. But most of them are early. Well, we're past that. If we were going to get spread from these giant crowds, we should have seen it by now. We should be seeing thousands and thousands of new cases. We aren't. So the one good thing about the, you know, the wilding in the streets has been it's shown us people can get together in large crowds minimal spread. Now, one codicil, remember these are young people.
Yes. Yeah.
These are not right. 70 and 80 year olds running through the streets.
Right? Very good point.
Yeah. Yeah, very true.
And young people don't get sick very easy. They've got robust immune systems.
Mm-hmm. So what can we take from this? We can go to the grocery store now without much fear.
I go to the grocery store almost every day because my wife buys groceries for a day at a time. And we walk the 2 miles from our home to the grocery store. We put on our masks as we are going up the steps, and we do our shopping, and then we come out and take our masks back off and walk the 2 miles back home. Sure.
Right.
You know, and so I in enclosed places like grocery stores and shopping, you should put on your mask. But if you're out in the fresh air and you're exercising, I don't worry about it much.
Yeah, no, I agree. Wash your hands as frequently as you possibly can. And if you're in close proximity to many other people, strangers, you don't know where they've been, it's probably wise to have your mask on.
Interesting. Encouraging. As I told you, Samara, I'm quite excited because I'm going to a restaurant for lunch tomorrow.
Yes.
With some friends.
I'm excited for
you. I have to go to Snohomish County, you know, to be legal.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to it.
We went to a restaurant last weekend.
Oh, up north.
We drove up to the outlet mall up north of Everett.
Okay.
And went to Applebee's.
Oh, nice.
And and it was really a delight to go into a restaurant and sit at a table and be waited on. Haven't done that in months.
Very nice. Very nice. And we went to this coffee shop near our office and we sat in and had a sandwich and a cup of coffee. It was really nice.
Yes.
Oh, they allowed that?
They
close
did.
By here?
Yeah. Just yesterday. Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's see what's going to happen here. We've got a couple of lines on here. We've got Lori from Bellevue has a question about shingles. Linda from Edmonds has a question about colitis. We've got room for another call or two. So if you want to just sort of get online, by the way, when you do call and get online, they'll put you on hold, but you can listen while you're on hold. You'll be able to hear. So it's not like you have to go dark or anything and just twiddle your thumbs. So give us a call at 800-465-8770. Now, I want to point out that I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert calling in at 8:30 for a minute. I've got a question for him. We'll deal with that. But if you have questions regarding your eyes and things, you can give us a call, too, because Dr. Michael Gilbert will be here at 8:30.
That's wide open, eyes and things.
Yes. Eyes and corneas.
Eyes. And vision.
Toenails.
That's right.
Other things.
Well, I asked him a question. I texted him last night, and I said, are there other health issues that can be effective by not taking care of your eyes?
Sure.
And he texted back and he said, oh my goodness. And he wrote out this big long list of things that correlate.
Yes.
Sure. And we've talked here. And so I wanted him just briefly to talk about it, that this pandemic and the shutdown has created some health issues.
Oh, yes.
Because people haven't been going to the dentist.
That's unnecessary right. deaths from cardiovascular disease have skyrocketed.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And in fact, suicides because of the depression and anxiety.
Yeah, I was going to go there. Yeah, that incidence is really rising.
It has risen dramatically. We have already had more suicides in America during the shutdown than we normally get in the whole year.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's that bad.
It's that bad.
Oh, that is heartbreaking. Okay. All right. Well, let's go to a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk with Lori and then Linda. Maybe you, because you're going to call the 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. Oh. First thing, when we come back, I have a question, or I have an announcement about the health analysis appointments. B and I had a conversation yesterday. We opened up through July 17th. Yeah, through July 17th.
See, I saw the email.
Yeah. So I'm real excited about that because we've been out. We've had none. We've been booked up to our eyeballs through June and then through the first week of July.
Dr. Gilbert might help you with that eyeball before.
Well, I know. Oh, so much more ahead. Don't go too far. Past the hour. Pete Talbot here. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon today. And also, yes, I kid you not, Dr. Samira Umat is here. And they are both standing. I'm sitting. They are both standing. She's dancing already. There's not even any music.
Well, I told her to bring her bangles, and I see the bangles on her wrist and a beautiful gold chain around her neck. Ooh, I like that gold against the burgundy.
Yeah.
And so, hey, the really good news.
Yes.
We have felt badly.
I'm ready to dance, but you don't have any music.
Well,
okay, come on.
We'll get it here. Just give me time. The free health analysis has been a sweet and sour situation for us. They've become very popular because people are able to come in, have a couple of free tests, you know, the blood test, also the special in-body test. We've talked about that many, many times. And, but the problem is, even though we have increased, we've actually changed the overall operations of longevity rather dramatically so we can handle more of those. And, but even though we've done that, we've been out of health analysis. We're just totally booked out. We opened up a couple of weeks ago in the first week of July. Many of those, or if not most of those, are gone. But yesterday I decided, and we just opened up the second week of July, all the way till the 17th, I guess it is, actually. And so that's great news. Now we have almost 15, 16, 17 appointments in each of our longevity clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. So I'm announcing that today, and it's frustrating to know that's another month out, and that's irritating. You know, when you want to go see a doctor, you want to go now. Why?
Yes.
But there's nothing I can do about it. We're sorry, but they're on a first-come, first-served basis. So what I suggest you do, time will go by, it'll happen, but go to our website and make the appointment. And yes, we have extended the $100 of free longevity supplements. We started that in June. Actually, we started that in May. We extended it to June. Well, we're doing it at least through July. And so you get a couple of free masks if you still need one of those, if you'd like an N95 mask. But more importantly, the $100 of longevity supplements too, along with the two free tests. So there's a lot of reasons why you just ought to go to our website right now and make your own appointment. And I assure you, even if you don't feel real comfortable on a computer, that it still is very easy to do. You go to our website, lmclinic.com. You push on the tab right in the middle of the page there that says schedule appointment. Click on it. Our three clinics will show up on the screen. Select the clinic that you'd like to go to, Tacoma, Linwood, or Kirkland. When you select the clinic, then their schedule, let's say the Kirkland schedule, actually appears on your screen. And all of the free health analysis appointments are listed there easily, right by day. Like Tuesday morning, 8:30, Wednesday at 10:30, you know, whatever. They're there. You click on the appointment that is good for you, and it automatically becomes yours. It's yours. And it's that easy. So we encourage you to do that. Again, you just go to lmclinic.com and do that right now. So Now, for a few of you don't have computers, you can call us. You can call us at 866-86-YOUNG. And this weekend, you can leave a message if you want. But on Monday, you can actually talk with somebody if you like and make an appointment that way, even though about 95% of the people make these appointments online. And so you can do that right now, lmclinic.com. Okay, that's good news.
Now, Samara, when you were a youngster, you know, a few years ago, did they have party lines on the phones?
What do you mean by party lines?
No, see, she's too young.
She's too young
to lose. Okay.
What are party lines?
Party line, well, you didn't have your own phone line.
Okay.
It was automated. There would be an operator, a literal human being operator, who would plug things into their board, and there would be several people on the same line.
Okay.
And so if you picked up your phone, you might hear your neighbors or people down the street talking because there was only one phone line for maybe, you know, 2 dozen, 3 dozen households. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, remember those days? We definitely did not have cell phones.
Oh, no. No. There was no. These were old black rotary dial, you know, wired telephones that we used to have. But the wonderful thing about those, as in my childhood, was that if I got stuck on a homework assignment, I'd pick up the phone and just ask whoever happened to be talking to help me with the homework.
No way.
Yes.
No.
Yes. And if there was no one on the party line that I could just, you know, random person I could ask how you did, then I would call information. You know, as a 10-year-old, it seemed to me that information was to get information.
Oh, you were way ahead of your time. So was your Google?
Yeah. So I would dial information to ask for help with my homework assignment.
They were for real. I remember.
Did you do that too?
I'm almost as old as he is.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ask for help for your homework?
I was never that crazy. No. I would never.
He just ignored his homework, which is why I kept getting kicked out of schools. You know? I was an overachiever, and so I wanted the answers.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
I didn't give a rip about the answers. So there you go. Let us go to Bellevue and talk with Lori. Lori, welcome to the show.
Hello, Lori.
Hello. It's good to be able to talk to you and get through.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you. How can we help you today?
Well, my good friend has bad case of the shingles. And and I just wanted to find out what things you could recommend for her.
Okay. A couple of things. And the most effective things, unfortunately, are going to raise some hackles with her physician. But but here we go. Up front, the things that will help the pain best of all is to have them contact Paramount Pharmacy and order a NeuroGel. These are gels or creams that contain neuroleptic agents and anesthetics and usually some narcotic, and you simply rub it on the area of the painful rash, and it numbs it up. It blocks the nociceptors sending the signals of pain to the brain and makes it much more comfortable, okay? It does nothing to fix the underlying problem, but it sure helps get rid of the pain, and you may need to apply that 2 or 3 times a day. Okay? So those are custom compounded creams, and if your physician is not used to doing custom compounded anesthetic creams, he can talk to the pharmacist who will give him some guidance and talk him through the formulations we use most often here at Longevity. Then to actually suppress the viral outbreak, and this is where some hackles may get raised, the insurance company will usually cover 5 days of one of the cyclovirs, acyclovir, valcyclovir, famcyclovir. They usually give about 5 days worth. The problem with using short-term cyclovir therapy is that will often decrease the initial outbreak. But up to 50% of the people who get this outbreak, who get these shingles, will end up with long-term, even lifelong pain from the nerve damage. And if you use the acyclovir every day until you are pain-free, and that may take a month or more of daily use, you decrease your risk of long-term pain dramatically. So the 5 days that are normally prescribed are inadequate for long-term protection. Okay? They're strictly short-term. And so when you tell the doctor, I don't want 5 days worth, I want a month's worth with a refill, you may have to be a bit assertive to get it. And your insurance company probably won't cover that much. But acyclovir is cheap, and would I pay an extra $100 to avoid a lifetime of pain? Darn right I would.
Yeah.
So.
Acyclovir.
There are three of them. The oldest one is acyclovir. The downside of that one is dirt cheap. It's almost free, but you gotta take it 5 times a day to get maximum effect.
Okay.
Valcyclovir and famcyclovir are once a day or twice a day. So those drugs are longer acting. And they're also both generic now, so they are not nearly as expensive as they used to be now that they're on the generic list. Okay. So famcyclovir, valcyclovir, I usually would use instead of acyclovir now, just because once or twice a day is easier than 5 times a day.
Remember, prevention is always better. Your friend already has the virus, unfortunately, and it's flared up. So all of us who have had chickenpox at some point in time have the virus.
Yep.
And it then lays dormant within us, and at times of stress in our lives, it can flare up. So in terms of prevention for everybody who's had chickenpox, it's wise to consider having the vaccine before you get the virus to protect yourself. And then also, you know, times are stressful these days. Everybody has more stress than normal. And so to do whatever you can to protect yourself is wise. And that includes regular exercise, sleep, taking care of your health, make sure you get your nutrients. And I would advise that for everybody, as, you know, your friend is suffering, everybody doesn't need to do that. So be proactive in your health. I know you want to stay safe, but make sure you get out, get some exercise every day, wash your hands, take a good diet and sleep regularly. And supplements do make a difference in improving your immune system. So your underlying immunity is compromised when you get sick. So protect your immune system before you get sick. That's all longevity is always about. It's always about thinking ahead and protecting yourself from things that may come up your way in the future. Jerry, I wanted to point out that I was happy to hear this just recently from a patient of mine who was on a Ketocam type of cream, Neurogel type of cream for pain that he was experiencing and was being treated by another physician. He's going to go in for surgery, and the Ketocam I had prescribed had some anti-inflammatory in it.
Sure.
And his physician actually agreed to let him have another pain cream without the anti-inflammatory that he could use post-operatively to heal. So I had to call pharmacy and prescribe that. I was really happy to hear that there are physicians who are aware, who agree, and were able to participate in his healthcare and say, oh, hey, that's a great idea.
You know, I think they're starting to come around more because of the opioid epidemic.
Crisis,
so many people dying of narcotics.
Yeah.
And they're starting to say, well, gee, how can we give people pain relief without a narcotic?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so these topical creams are a good alternative for surgical pains.
Sure. And he's a surgical patient. He's on minimal narcotics, but the cream helps. The only thing was that it has an anti-inflammatory, which he can't use right now. So the compounding pharmacy was contacted, and they were happy to make him another one without the anti-inflammatory, but still with the neurogenic pain and muscle relaxation.
Isn't that interesting? It's maybe kind of a full circle thing, because compounding pharmacy is what pharmacies were
used to
originally.
Be.
That's, they were all compounding pharmacies.
Yeah, so I called a pharmacist and I spoke to them, and they said, yeah, they could do it.
So, so there you go, Lori. Hopefully that's helpful.
Okay, that's great. Around Kirkland, where's the best compounding pharmacy?
Well, we normally are recommending Paramount. They're actually down towards South Center Mall, but they mail it to you. Your doctor faxes them a prescription. They fix it up and send it out the same day.
They are very quick, very quick.
Right.
And Paramount Pharmacy, let me give out the phone number right now because there may be others listening right now. Paramount Pharmacy, 855-301-7677. I'm going to give that number again, 855-301-7677. So there you have it. Thank you, Lori. Now, I just want to remind everybody that I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert coming on the air here, I believe right after the break. And I had asked him, and he was pointing out that there are systemic diseases which can be first diagnosed in eye exams. There's plenty of them.
Yes.
And there's lots of reasons, not just your eyes, but your eyes can be an indicator of other problems. So there's lots of reasons why you want to take care of your eyes. Hopefully we'll have Dr. Michael Gilbert with us on the line when we come back. We'll talk about that.
And I'm going to ask Michael, you know, since the eyes are supposed to be the window of the soul, I'm not sure I want him peering at my soul. But all right, we'll see.
That could be scary. All right. That's a good idea. So come on back when we come back, hopefully Dr. Michael Gilbert. And then don't forget about those free health analysis appointments. They're always on a first-come, first-served basis. We have no other way that's fair to do that. And we now have some available in July up through the 17th. So go grab one at lmclinic.com. Hey, welcome back. It's about 37 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I think I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. Michael, are you there, sir?
Such a good morning to you all.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Good hearing your voice. You know, we used to get you in here, maybe every 3 months or so for an hour, just because we needed to do that. We always had listeners wanting information about their eyes. Well, since the pandemic, we haven't seen you for a couple of weeks, but you know, every 3 or 4 weeks we got to get you on here. So thank you. I texted Michael last night, as I mentioned before going to the break. Jerry, I have seen so much information about the cost of the pandemic, of the shutdown, of people not going to their doctors, mm-hmm. not doing their standard dental care. And I even saw an article of the relationship between hearing loss and dementia. And it made me think of all the correlated illnesses, right?
Yeah, well, and, you know, mammograms have basically stopped being done.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, we are setting ourselves up for a lot of serious injuries and deaths as a consequence of this shutdown.
And so I texted Michael last night. Yeah, I guess it was last night. And I asked the question, are there diseases, problems, what have you, that can be first diagnosed with an eye exam? In other words, if you're stalling on your eyes, which is the temptation for a lot of people to do, they procrastinate. But Michael, you wrote back and said, oh my goodness, yeah, there's lots of things. Maybe you can just explain one or two of those.
Well, it's an incredibly good and really such an important health question, Pete. And I don't think you expected I didn't want to text back an answer because I had too many top of the list.
That's right. You emailed me. I forgot. That's right.
Right. I gave you just the bullet points as some of the most critical. Your caller just a few minutes ago was talking about shingles, both the herpes simplex and zoster virus, shingles, oftentimes we see those patients first. They may or may not have a rash that shows up, and it can show up in your eyes.
That's
first.
Right.
And so we often are, or they discount the rash. Yeah, my scalp is a little itchy, but boy, my eyes getting me. So we can often diagnose those and would be the conduit to that next level of treatment. Diabetes, we've talked on the radio about how important it is for diabetics to have their eyes checked because of retinopathy as an avoidable cause of permanent blindness, so avoidable now because we have great treatments. But what we really haven't talked about is that not rarely we pick up patients who do not have a diagnosis of diabetes. But when we look in, we see some of those early changes of diabetes and say, oh my, do you have a family history of diabetes? And this is something you need to get checked out. So although, you know, we hope that they get that that diagnosis if they have to deal with it elsewhere, but oftentimes in the eye exam, you pick that up. And the reason is, it's a microvascular disease, as are so many others. And this is the only place in the body where we actually get to look at the health, the function of that microvasculature. Nowhere else in the body can we just put eyes on those arteries and blood vessels without sticking a scope in or some other invasive or partially invasive approach. And looking at that vasculature, we can see changes of high blood pressure. Many times I look in and I say, oh, you're being treated for high blood pressure, aren't you? And patients are so surprised that I know that they have the vascular changes. They also think because they're on the medications that I shouldn't be able to tell. I can tell those anatomical changes, even though they think they're taking medications that have fully protected them. Mm. You can find plaques, like from atherosclerosis. And if I'm seeing plaques or little calcium fragments in the arterial system in the eye, those little plaques may be free-floating in other parts. If the retina is an extension of the brain, if it's an extension of the brain and you're getting little fragments in the eye vasculature, it's happening elsewhere in the brain. And that's something that obviously needs to be. I'm just getting started, Pete. Aren't you sorry to that?
Well, this is.
I also shouldn't have had my double cappuccino this morning before calling in. I apologize. Brain tumors, not rare. We pick up brain tumors or strokes. Because there are our vision and sometimes anatomical changes that we can pick up. Not unrelated are changes of, we diagnose, not rarely, multiple sclerosis. Because oftentimes with MS, the first change is to your vision or to the nerve, and you may not pick that up. Thyroid disease. Thyroid eye disease can often be the first expression of thyroid disease rather than the long list of systemic manifestations. We pick it up in a number of different ways and other autoimmune diseases, lupus and others. When we look we can see metastatic diseases from other cancers and oftentimes diagnosed diseases. I know you're sorry you asked now.
No, I'm not at all. It's just, Jerry, you know, you have said for as long as I've known you that things like what's good for your heart is good for your lungs, what's
That's
good
right.
for your gut is good for
the... In our subspecialty milieu of medicine, we have divided the body up into all of these subfractions, and we often lose track of the fact it is all one body.
Yeah.
And anything that impacts one part of your body impacts the entire body. And so, you know, we are not just a collection of brains, hearts, lungs, joints, blood vessels. You know, it's all one integrated system. And anything that goes wrong anywhere will have an impact almost everywhere.
Yep.
And that's...
And yet, unfortunately, not always, things are changing a little bit. It seems like when you go to some kind of specialist, they get so freaky protective of just what they do.
Sure.
So don't take supplements. Don't do this. Don't do that. Just do what I tell you for your, let's say, your heart or your kidney or what have you.
But that which is good for the heart is good for the brain. What's good for the brain is good for the heart. What's good for the heart and brain are good for the kidneys.
Dr. Gilbert so eloquently said what we do too. Remember when we do the in-body or the hemoglobin A1C, we're just telling you your sugar levels are rising. But he's saying, okay, wait a minute, that's just rising, but I'm seeing the microvascular damage that's doing in the eye. And then what we're saying is, hey, wait a minute, but there's peripheral nerves, there's brain, there's heart, and we can predict where this is going if you don't take steps to reverse it.
Unfortunately, when we draw lines based on research studies, we are looking for those areas that will provide statistically significant changes at some point. And we draw a line.
Yeah.
And we say we see statistical significance at this line.
True.
The mistake that's often made is the presumption is everything below that line is perfectly safe. And once you cross the line, all of a sudden people start developing. And that's not true.
Well, that's not true, but that's how insurance companies have dictated it.
Yes.
So it's either normal or it's abnormal. There's no gray zone.
But your rising insulins and your rising sugars start doing damage to your heart, your brain, your blood vessels, long before you become a diabetic.
Exactly.
You know, it's a continuum.
Yeah, and patients get comforted knowing that they're normal, but then if they're rising, our job is to educate them about the risk of that rising value.
Yes.
And the future is still to come, and we want that to be the best they can make it. And if they don't work at it today, unfortunately, that value will then shift into abnormal, and then it's a little late.
For that microvascular changes that Michael is talking about, do not begin the day you hit our diagnostic criteria for diabetes.
Exactly.
You will start developing those changes long before you become a formal diabetic.
Yes, yes.
But I'll tell you what
critical,
this is.
A critical point you make, Samira, is that, and the one I tried to make, is that when I see changes in the diabetic retina, those are the same changes that are happening, you know, in the kidney, in all around the body. So, window to the soul, well, at least the health of your soul, Jerry.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
This is amazing. I announced, I think, 2-3 weeks ago that I had an appointment scheduled with you, Michael, to come in. Well, there have been.
He's playing golf.
No, well, a little. There's some things that have happened that we had to reschedule. But now I'm almost, I've just got to get in there. And so I'm hoping you're all up and running, right? I want to make sure that all of our people, you're up and running. You're taking extra precautions. We don't have to go into all of those extra precautions, but there's a whole lot of reasons people need. If you've not had your eyes checked, how often, Michael, should people have their eyes checked, especially once they're, say, 40 or 45? How often?
Sure. Well, there's the simple broad population answer, but in part it depends on family history. If you have a family history of eye disease, then it's a little more frequent. For instance, glaucoma, something like that. But if you have no such family history, then at least a screening eye exam to make sure that there aren't some of these subtle diseases that we've just discussed at age 40. And then every 2 to 4 years, depending on what they find, but starting age 50, studies have shown strongest national recommendation is an annual eye exam, because eye diseases become increasingly, as well as the things we just discussed. I didn't mention high cholesterol, especially in young adults. We can detect high cholesterol in patients in their 40s through an eye exam. Now, that doesn't mean everyone with high cholesterol has eye changes, but patients with eye changes can be associated with that high cholesterol. So having that eye exam in your 40s and periodically till 50, but then annually at 50 because of eye diseases as well as those systemic detections that we can make.
Well, there's a whole lot of reasons. Most of our audience, my guess is our audience is 50 plus, 40 plus. So the vast majority of our audience should be getting an eye exam at least once a year. I'm assuming I'll be hearing from your office momentarily because we're going to be doing a rescheduling. And this is great news. And let me give out the phone number for Dr. Michael Gilbert's clinic, two of them, by the way, but the main clinic in Bellevue, Northwest Vision Institute. The phone number is 425-450-2020. That's 425-450-2020. And you can also get information, even make appointments at nwvision.com. nwvision.com. So, Michael, thank you, sir. I'm glad I caught you. I'm glad you were available this morning.
I know I won't be getting questions Friday evening from you anymore, will I?
Well, no. Sure. This was great. It's actually a little bit scary. I just all of a sudden realized, man, I had to reschedule with you. And if I'd have had this conversation, what you just shared this morning, I would not have rescheduled. I would have made it the priority.
I noticed your question was, are there, not how many are there?
No, that's right. I thought there maybe be one or two, but anyway. Michael, blessings to you, my friend. Again,
it's so good to talk to you all. Now I'm missing the sit-downs around the table there because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I thank you for giving us a call and a chance to talk about some really important health issues.
Got it. And again, Michael Gilbert's office number, 425-450-2020. All right. When we come back, we've got a question from Linda in Edmonds about colitis. Joe from Tacoma has a question about COVID-19. Lots of things still to talk about. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Okay, that was great. Michael Gilbert, what a guy.
Isn't he amazing?
Yeah, I really like him. The difference, and one thing, you hear it in the ad, we play an ad for him every now and again during the show. The one lady is talking about that she's been to other ophthalmologists, and I can't remember the term she uses. She talks about
old school.
Old school, really old school. Michael is truly, the reason he's here, he is on the leading edge.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's critical to be on the leading edge. Think of the advantage of being on the leading edge. Anyway, give him a call at his office, 425-450-2020. During the break, we were trying to decide whether to buy, as a group of friends,
a 47-foot boat or a 37-foot boat.
Yeah, I vote for the 47-foot.
I need a little bit of sunshine before that, gentlemen.
Right. Yes, here we go. All right. Let us go to Linda in Edmonds.
They need me to reel them in.
Linda in Edmonds, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
My husband and I are both patients of longevity. My husband has been coming for 15 years. His is 15 years, mine is just 3. Dr. Umat, we're fortunate enough, is our doctor.
Well,
I have a question. I have a question concerning my daughter, 43 years old. She has been fighting ulcerative colitis for 13 years. She has done everything from, she has celery, fresh celery in the morning. She grinds up and drinks everything for anti-inflammatory diet. No sugar, no wine, no grain. And it just seems to be getting worse after her last child 18 months ago. But her doctor is wanting to put her on Stelara, which is about $13,000 a month, or if her insurance doesn't cover that, Humira. What I'm wanting to know with this ulcerative colitis, have you had success in helping someone in their 40s that has had this for 13 years? And I might add, this seems to run in her father's family. There's been four different cases of it. Even someone died of a cancer of the colon, and young people have it. Is it hereditary is my question. It seems to be.
There does indeed seem to be a hereditary component, although it's not strict Mendelian genetics. You know, just because your parents have it doesn't mean you are doomed to get it, and yet it does tend to cluster in families. So I'm not aware of if a particular gene that has been identified or a genetic pattern that's been identified with it. Of course, this is not my area of expertise either. So, you know, this is one of those things that as an old reformed family physician, my knowledge is about half an inch deep.
I'm in shock. So, I've been telling everybody you know everything about everything.
No. I tell people just the opposite. That I am frequently appalled at how little I know about things I wish I knew about. So, you know, yes, we do have several patients with ulcerative colitis, and most of them are doing reasonably well. But I sure as heck cannot say that it is because of what we do. I mean, some of the things we do, like trying to decrease inflammatory markers and decrease the amount of inflammation in the system, you know, should have a positive impact to some degree. The problem with ulcerative colitis is it waxes and it wanes. Mm-hmm. They'll go through periods in which they have big, terrible, horrible flares, and then it'll get better for a while, and then it flares. And so telling if what you're doing at any given time is actually the cause of it getting better right now or not is difficult to tell, just because of the natural course of the disease.
It seems after childbirth. This is their third child. And they've recently had her on 50 milligrams of prednisone for the last 4 weeks. It has not helped at all.
Wow.
But her house but her house is very clean.
Sure. But the problem with this pattern you're describing is that pregnancy results in very high estradiol and progesterone levels. And those are potent anti-inflammatories. And so during the pregnancy, many diseases will get better. Multiple sclerosis tends to get better during pregnancy. Ulcerative colitis frequently gets better during pregnancy. And then after delivery, when those hormone levels plummet and go back towards, quote, normal, you suddenly lose the benefit, the protective benefit of those high pregnancy hormones. And so, yes, it's not uncommon to get big flares after a pregnancy is over and get some degree of remission during pregnancy. That's one of the reasons that we think that especially our older patients, and your daughter is a bit younger than, you know, than many of our people, but when we raise the hormonal support, the estrogen progesterone levels in other women, you know, we are not getting them up to pregnancy levels, but we're getting them much higher than their, quote, normal level. And we do get some anti-inflammatory systemic effect from it.
Okay.
And Linda, that's the best we can do right now. You betcha. Thank you for your call. I wish there was a hard, cold, quick, precise answer.
But there isn't.
We have to take about a 20-second break for top of the hour station ID. It's a legal thing. So we'll be back before you know it with the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Go to our website, LM Clinic. Don't forget, make one of those free health analysis appointments. We'll be right back with Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon.